Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's just past 5:30 on a Friday, and of course, here on The Fan, that means the staple of our Friday broadcast, the greatness that is Joey Harrington, former Oregon Duck, who is not in studio. Very disappointing.
No, he's elevating the show from a distance today, but elevating nonetheless.
He is calling us from Estes Park, Colorado. Joey.
I get the elevating part, right? Because I'm actually at altitude.
Is that there you go.
I think that's what he was going with.
Pretty good stuff. 9,500 feet.
Yeah, that's way up there. Have you puked or anything?
I didn't. No. No, I didn't. Should I?
Well, sometimes that stuff gets to you, man. That altitude.
The altitude. I've had altitude sickness before. It's not fun.
No, I never had. I mean, I lived in Colorado for a little bit.
Never had a problem?
No. I mean, the first time you get there, like my first time when in Denver, like you go to run or something, or you know, that gets you. But I never had any of the sickness or noticed it that bad.
Yeah, it's probably the
booze.
Well,
that's because you're just massively tough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, clearly. Mm-hmm. I'm a man's man sort of thing.
So, Joey, Stanford, finally a good game to preview. Did you have some good battles with Stanford? I can't remember. Or when you were playing with Stanford, kind of a...
That might have been the Walt Harris days,
were those
maybe?
The
Buddy Tevens?
Doormat years?
Are you trying to stir up bad memories? Is this how we're starting the interview? Is that what we're going for?
Uh-oh. No, but...
You mean being 6-0 and number 7 in the country on the way to a national championship and having a 14-point lead at the start of the fourth quarter and throwing an interception on the first play on 750 Gator Wyatt Reed to cut Dustin Peel, where Tank Williams stepped in front on the goal line as we were going to go up by 21, and then Stanford blocked two punts and recovered an onside kick in the fourth quarter to beat us by a touchdown and knock us off? I don't know what you're talking about, though.
No, I feel like that's completely... You've blocked that out. In no way does that stick with you.
Nope, not at all.
All right.
You know
what
the funny thing is, though? So everybody talks about the Stanford game our senior year. So the 01 season, how that, you know, that was the one game that derailed us. But I might argue that had every ball not bounced the complete opposite direction against Stanford that week, we were hitting a mid-season slide, where we were getting tired of being, you know, taking everybody's best shot week after week. And I, you know, we had a close one the following week against Washington State. And there were some rumblings that had we not lost to Stanford and kind of regrouped, we may have lost to Washington State and really been derailed the following week. So, yes, I have some memories about Stanford. Sorry, I got distracted.
No, I honestly forgot about that game. That's good, though. I mean, it's not something I
think so.
Yeah.
You don't take it as personally as maybe the quarterback of the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was Gator Y right 2-5 fly or whatever you said. I had no idea.
Rob always just likes to run the touchdown play. That's kind of his go-to.
That's what I'd do.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done if I were you on that play.
The one where the guy throws with the other guy who's open in the end zone, just run that one.
You know what? Just pull a Baker Mayfield, man.
Just run around.
Just go in there and throw a bunch of passes and win the game. Is it that hard? I mean, my goodness.
There you go.
What did you think of that guy last night? I mean, as a rookie, he hadn't been running with the ones. He gets in and he just starts slinging it around, man. That was awesome.
Love it. Love it. But that's his... That's been his MO from day one. And that's for as much as they needed it last night, and it's the spark that they need, he's going to have to learn how to kind of keep that in check a little bit. There's a little bit of Brett Favre-ishness to that. You know, at the beginning of his career, people don't remember that Brett Favre was throwing interceptions like crazy, and he was just about run out of Green Bay until he kind of learned to harness that back in. And that's the, you know, we've talked about it before, being able to have that true fearlessness. Like, I am going to throw whatever pass I want, whenever I want it, and there's nothing you can do about it. And then when it doesn't go right, being able to come back and do it again, but being able to do it in a more controlled way. And that's going to be Baker's, that's going to be his thing to work on, is being able to control that emotion, control that, I don't know, I call it gunslinger mentality, but that's what he's always done. He's just come in and chucked it.
Well, and it will get more difficult. I was talking about this the other day about like Patrick Mahomes, who has come in and lit the world on fire. But I mean, you know this better than anyone. In the NFL, people will adjust. Like once you get film on a guy and you find out what he likes to do, they will take it away and force you to go to plan B. And we've seen this where guys can come out, have success early, and then, you know, they light the world on fire, and 5-6 weeks in, people are asking what's wrong. And it's adjustments. It's one thing to be good. It's a whole other thing to stay good. Right.
Well, that's the key is people don't realize how long the NFL season is, and not just how good the players are, but how smart they are. I mean, I had defensive linemen telling me that they could get a jump on my snap count based on my left ring finger. Whoa. When I was taking a snap. Like, wow. That's how precise these guys get. And so they're like, exactly like you said, there's going to be film on Baker. They're going to get a couple weeks of his tendencies. When does he look off, you know, does he look off his post routes? Where does he go on his first step? Hey, does he throw better going to his right or throw better going to his left? Defensive coordinators are going to start game planning for these things. And DBs are going to start studying these things. And yeah, it's not just because when you think about the college football season, it's essentially three inconsequential games to start the season, where, you know, you're really not showing a whole lot. And then the reality is you've got probably 3, 4, 5, if you're lucky, you know, really good, solid quality conference opponents with, you know, a couple Vanderbilts and a couple of, a couple Marylands, they beat Texas, but you know, you see my point. So you're not going for 20 weeks like you are with, you know, in the NFL with 4 preseason games, then 16 games. So that in college, teams truly don't get that many opportunities to game plan for you. Every single week in the NFL, you have to show everything. You have to bring out your best or you're going to get beat. And you're right. By, you know, about 5-6 weeks into it, teams are going to know what Baker can do. And it's going to be up to him to be able to make adjustments on his end. Because right now, he's just the kid who lit the world on fire, who came in and gave Cleveland their first win in God knows how long. And he's loving it. He's going to ride that cloud until as long as he can.
Well, on the flip side, Sam Darnold is now not in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Right? Like, we've taken him out of the Hall of Fame now after a couple of...
He was inducted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, week one.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
You didn't see that game week one?
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, beat the Lions.
I think they took his jacket away from him and everything, like melted down the bust.
Really?
Yeah, it was a mistake.
Is he part of the lawsuit that's saying that all Hall of Famers demand $300,000 a year for the rest of their life,
yeah,
too?
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
Man.
That was crazy.
What do I think of that? Yeah, let's see. We don't have time for that.
Okay, Joey Harrington with us. Let's get back on track here. Yeah. It's Oregon-Stanford. This is a big game. Joey Harrington of the Ducks, former Duck, with us every Friday at this time. So I know you have proclaimed previously on this show, and I couldn't agree more, the Ducks are, they look like a 7 or 8-win team. Not to say that's what they'll end up, but that's what they look like right now. So what do they have to do? What areas do they have to be better in tomorrow in order to pull off this, what would be a mild upset, according to Vegas?
There are three very specific areas that Oregon needs to improve on. And I feel like, I'm a broken record saying this. Number one is defensively, they made a big jump from 2 years ago to last year. I mean, you couldn't have done anything but jump up. And they did that, and they did a nice job. What has happened this year is that spark, that excitement, that ability to create turnovers and get the ball back to the offense has kind of gone away. Where's Thomas Graham Jr.? You know, where are those interceptions that he was pulling out last year? Troy Dye is a good player, but you need explosion plays. You need the sack fumbles. Jalen Jelks. What you need from this defense is turnovers, and they're not creating those right now. The second thing is they need consistent wide receivers. They need to find somebody who's going to be the go-to guy. All these guys have had drops throughout the year. All these guys have had moments where, you know, they caught a touchdown, but then they drop a pass a minute later. Justin Herbert needs a guy that he can rely on. And I think the biggest one is they need a running game. And sure, Tony Brooks-James is a very talented back, but he's always been the compliment, right? He's always been the lightning to Royce Freeman's thunder. They need a thunder. They need a guy who can carry the ball 20 times a game, get him 4 to 5 yards a carry, and carry that load. Take the pressure off of Justin Herbert, because you know they're kind of doing a running back by committee thing right now. And what was it, 2.5 yards a carry last game against San Jose? That's just not going to cut it. Justin Herbert is a fantastically talented quarterback. He can't do it all on his own. He needs a defense to create turnovers. He needs a consistent, explosive wide receiver, and he needs a running game that can support him. And if they can do those three things tomorrow, they're going to win.
Yeah, it was a bit concerning. This is a veteran-laden group on the offensive line, minus Penei Sewell, who just oozes talent. That kid is going to be special. But the rest of these guys, I mean, these guys are all, you know, double-digit starts in the Pac-12. These are all, you know, junior type of guys. And to see a group struggle with simple line stunts, I mean, tackle ends and slants on a group like San Jose State, and have your run game confounded like that when, you know, you're up big and you're trying to run the ball to close out games. That, to me, is the biggest concern. And not to say they can't put it together, but that's not what I want to see a week before playing Stanford.
Well, I agree with you. We're coming at the same issue from two different sides. I think because of that experience, I give a little bit of a pass, right? I give the offensive line a little bit of a pass to say, okay, those holes may be there, but these running backs aren't seeing them.
Yeah.
Now, if we go a couple weeks and we're still seeing those mistakes, right? If we're still seeing those, if we're still seeing defensive ends, D tackles blowing gaps, okay, now we got an offensive line issue. But I don't think that's where the problem lies. I truly don't, because, like you said, this group has too much experience. They've done it before, and so I have a hard time believing that it is the offensive line issue as opposed to a running back issue.
This is Joey Harrington with us every Friday. When we come back, we'll take a look around the rest of the Pac-12, including how Oregon State handled the finish of their last game against Nevada. And Joey reveals Phil Knight's phone number live on the air.
Give him a call.
Coming up next on The Fan.
I have it.
Okay, well, we've stumbled across something here with Joey Harrington, who remains on the line from Colorado.
8, 6, 7,
not
5,
in studio.
3, 0, 9.
Not in studio this week. Now, yeah.
That's not his phone number?
Well, I don't know. You tell us.
I think that's Jenny's number.
Phil Knight's phone number
God,
is...
I got it mixed up.
Yeah. Jenny. That was a great tune, though.
Mostly, I just thought about Jenny. But let's play the new fun game of, what is the best number in Joey Harrington's cell phone?
It's Phil Knight.
Who is that the best number you have that someone would be impressed by?
Besides mine.
Yeah.
I might have to go with... I don't know. There's a lot of different directions I could take this, but I'm gonna have to pass on this.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to answer that question.
Yeah,
ever.
Uh-huh.
And that's such an interesting question.
Yeah,
but
best number you have in your in the Rolodex.
But seriously,
there.
You
because
text what, Phil Knight all
what's
the time.
Best? What's best?
Well,
I mean,
coolest, you know, makes you look the coolest.
Yeah, like the, if you threw that out, like, hey, I could call such and such, what would be the biggest reaction you would get from the largest group of people?
Well, definitely George Clooney. I mean, that's, you know, George Clooney and Brad Pitt, or if you even know his name, right?
See, now you're lying.
But that's kind of my point. If you've got a number like that, that's like the ultimate trump card. But like, you know, Phil Knight would be impressive. I don't know. Maybe you've got like a, you know, Jordan's number. Who knows who you got in there? You're kind of a big deal.
That's kind of you to think. Let's move on to.
Yeah, he's not going to answer.
Topic. No.
You don't even, but you won't even answer this. You don't text Phil Knight every once in a while?
I speak with Phil on occasion. Yeah.
There you go. Okay. Yes, I think that may be the answer.
All right.
Moving on.
All right. Yeah, moving on. Okay, so What did you think at the end of that Beavers Nevada game? I couldn't believe they knelt. Uh-oh. What, you don't want to answer this one?
No, it's just frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, they, I mean, why do you, okay, so you've got the ball at the 22, you've got two timeouts, and I mean, I'm not saying throw it in the air, pass it and risk an interception, but why do you kneel 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, right? Like,
because you're setting up your kicker for where he wants to kick. I would rather have a kicker on, because every head coach talks to the kicker before the game, say, where do you want the ball? Do you want it right after it goes out and warms up, right? What's your, are you hitting a little bit of a draw today? Are you hitting a straight ball today? If you have a game-winning kick, where do you want it? And the kicker will either tell you, I want it left hash, I want it center, I want it right hash. By putting the ball in the hands of, frankly, an inexperienced quarterback on the road, throwing the ball to somewhere, you know, you're at the 22-yard line, right? 22, 32, you're under a 40-yard, under a 40-yard field goal. You're at a 40-yard field goal. That is good enough to win a football game. So I would rather say to my kicker, where do you want the ball? And then give him the ball in that spot and go out and have a chance to win it. I don't think there's, I mean, it's easy to look back and say, well, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And yeah, maybe with a more experienced team, maybe with a quarterback, you know, a one solid quarterback as opposed to, you know, rotating a couple guys back and forth, you know, someone who you know that you can trust with, you know, because managing that situation at the end of the game, that's a difficult thing to do on the road. I don't fault the decision. I really don't. And I know a lot of people will second guess it, but I don't fault the decision.
So you think they couldn't have achieved the same thing by running Jefferson, though?
Potentially. But Jefferson takes off and sees a crease and heads out, you know.
Yeah.
Heads to the left sideline or heads to the right side, you know, heads somewhere where the kicker doesn't want it. Those kickers, they're fickle bunch. All right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those things, right? If it works out, then you look smart, and if it doesn't, then everyone calls you a boob.
But, you know, it is a point that I hadn't heard raised yet, and that is that maybe the kicker, like, four kickers, and they are quite, they're like pitchers, right? Their brains work in a different way. What'd you say?
They're worse than pitchers. They're closers.
Right.
Like they're like Mitch Wildthing Williams kind of brain.
Right. Yeah. So if 5 yards, like you're right, like inside a certain yardage, maybe they want a longer kick than a shorter kick. Since only 5 yards, it just makes them feel more comfortable. I never thought of that.
Well, here's the thing. Before every single game in Atlanta, Morton Anderson, it was his last year in the NFL, he would come up to me after his warmups and he'd say, all right, I'm good from 46. I'm good from 45. I could power one through from 46, but 47, I'm going to miss. And I've got a little bit of a draw today, so I'd prefer to be on the left hash. And I kid you not, there were two times where we got him to the exact yardage, and he kicked that ball, and it bounced on the crossbar and through. Like, kickers are that precise that they know where they want the ball, when they want and when they want it there. And you gotta work with that.
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, so Pac-12 doesn't look very good this year. What can be done about that? I mean, why does it lag, does it seem to you?
I don't know. I may have to come back to you on this one because this is kind of a longer conversation. I mean, is it guys leaving early for the NFL draft? I mean, is it Sam Darnold, you know, taking off and leaving USC in the dumps? Is it, I don't know. I don't know why. And it's not just the Pac-12 this year. The Big Ten is smelly as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Michigan State, who people thought were going to, you know, was going to be a really good football team, goes down and loses to Arizona State, who then lost to San Diego State. Wisconsin just lost to somebody.
BYU.
They struggled against. Yeah, oh, that's right. You knew that one.
Yeah.
you know, they Penn State struggled against Kent State. I mean, this is, as much as I don't want to admit it, and there are years when the difference between the conferences is less, but I think this is one of the years where the SEC is just going to be head and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah. Well, you look at it, especially, and you look maybe the top four, and there's always a gap. I think there's a huge difference between the top five teams in the country and the next six. But you look at Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, maybe Georgia, you throw in there. It seems at least this year, and it's early. I mean, things can change, injuries and teams can get better. But it sure does seem like the top four or five teams, there is a giant gap between them. And no, like Stanford's seventh in the country. And to me, watching Stanford play three times and then watching Alabama and Georgia play, to me,
it's night and day.
Yeah.
Stanford looks vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other teams don't. But here's one of the things that can change. How about maybe an injury to the potential number one draft pick next year? Nick Bosa's out for potentially the year.
Yeah, torn core.
That is a huge blow to Ohio State. I mean, it truly may just be Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and then somebody.
Oklahoma, maybe.
There you go. Kyler Murray looks really good.
Kyler Murray, yeah.
Got to run. Thank you so much. Will we get you back in studio on next Friday?
Does 100 pounds of dough make a big old cookie?
I'm going to say yes, Bob.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that would be a giant cookie.
That's an affirmative.
I love it. Good times. Thank you, Joey. Enjoy Colorado, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
See ya. All right, coming up next, Big Soup tells you definitively who will win the Stanford-Oregon football game.
And the score and the lucky lottery numbers.
All next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.